Well, does it get any better? We're here, open lines, Friday night into Saturday morning with you on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, open lines, and let us not waste any time. Let's go to Houston, outside of Denver, on the wild card line. Hello, Houston.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. What's going on?
So the guy I called in talking about the prison from Miami, I mean, I was in the juvenile system as a kid. And I actually got busted for 2 kilos of coke once upon a time in my life. You know, young man.
Yeah. So,
and
go ahead.
That got me thinking, just because, like, he was talking about prison life and radio shows and the impact that that has on the grown man. And as a kid, they really, like, watch what you listen to. But we listen to your shows every once in a while when we weren't supposed to. looking back on that, I mean, what my real conversation would be about is, like, the impact that these people that around me as a kid, because I mean, I grew up in inner city south side of like Chicago. I ran around like east side of Chicago my whole life. But the thing about it is, like, running into the drugs and getting caught made me realize that I was doing something wrong with my life at that point in time. But the juvenile system was a little bit different than that, man. Like, if you got... They didn't encourage fighting, but fighting happened, and it helped you grow. As far as, like, there was 17-year-olds that got arrested for sleeping like with 13-year-olds. That's the topic that really thing is.
Yeah.
So, like, it was kind of like a kid thing. And when they came to juvie, they were not separated from the general population, so they got an ass beating. Excuse my language. They got their ass beat. So that was something that I thought maybe would address the situation, because, like, with child molested, I think that's kind of child molesting, 17 to a 13-year-old. Like, that happened 7 times while I was locked up for 2 years.
Well, so. you sound like you're doing okay now.
Oh, well, I'm a senior in college, and I'm a welder full-time.
Good for you.
I'm doing pretty good for myself.
Good for you. Denver's a great area, too, by the way. You get out there every month to do our Beyond Belief television programs. I like the fact how people can put their lives together. There was a guy in St. Louis. His name was Melvin. And Melvin was, you know, a doorman at clubs and things like that. And just a nice, nice guy. Well-dressed, polite, and just nice. And every time I was out with my daughters or by myself, he was just always polite. And I remember one night he said, look, and I told him, I said, look, I'm not going to stay up all night. I can't stay up all night like my daughters can. And he said, don't worry about anything. I will watch them, make sure they're okay, get them into their car, everything else. The club was on Washington Avenue at the time in downtown St. Louis. And it's generally a nice area, but it's late night and, you know, things happen. And he did that. And I got to know him. And he's a nice guy. Well, one day, you know, I was telling people, hey, where's Melvin? They said, didn't you hear? Oh, I don't, you know, hey, I'm back in L.A. Where's Melvin? Well, he got arrested. He got arrested for what? Well, he had a gun, but he wasn't supposed to. He had a prior conviction when he was a kid, you know, growing up in the inner city. He did something stupid, and he wasn't allowed to possess a gun. And the neighbor called it in. I guess the neighbor saw him with his gun. I mean, he wasn't brandishing it at anybody, but nothing. And the cops came, and it turned out to be some kind of federal charge, and they gave him 6 years for having it. He didn't rob anybody. He didn't do anything. He just had it. He wasn't supposed to. 6 years. He's got a year and a half to go, and then he finally gets out. And we found him a job. He's going to work with a friend of mine who owns a business. And hopefully he can get his life going again. But I think most people deserve a second chance in life, no matter what you do, whether it's in a relationship, your job. You do something foolish as a kid and you pay your price. I think everybody deserves a second chance, except child molesters. I just can't get myself. And I'm sure they're listening to me right now in prison. I just can't. You need help. You need help. And I'm not talking about an 18-year-old who dates a 17-year-old, and though that's illegal, that's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. That you need help. You just need help. And I'm not sure that, you know, psychiatric help alone takes care of that. It really doesn't. I mean, if I had little kids and somebody like that lived next door to me, I wouldn't be too happy about that. I'd probably move. Anyway, Houston, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Good luck to you. Let's go to Barry in South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hi, Barry. Go ahead.
Hello there, George. What a pleasure.
Well, there you are. Good to see you. You came by one of the conferences I was in Charlotte. It was just great to meet you.
Yep, the seminar right there at Ballantyne. As a matter of fact, I'm only 20 minutes away from it right this minute. And listen, I wish I could have gotten on the air an hour ago, because that Angela has got about the, except for me, the worst Southern accent I've ever heard.
It's pretty strong.
She only lives about an hour from me, and I'm going by the Brown Mountain Light in about 3 weeks. Martha and I, my wife, go up to the mountains to see the leaves change on the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yeah.
And we're going right through Morganton, where she lives, and I just thought about her, though. But listen, let me tell you right quick what happened. Remember, we talked a couple months ago about Jimmy Durante being down there at Calabasas,
That's right. Because I asked the question, why did he always end his programs by saying, "Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are."
That's exactly right. And listen to this, George. Her name is Ms. Coleman. A buddy of mine lives there. And he told me the whole story. Well, I want you to know, George, after that Friday night when you read that letter from me, that the restaurant has been open since 1938, and it burned to the ground the next night.
No.
The next Friday night we talked, and Saturday night it burned to the ground. And they're going to completely rebuild it and remodel it and all. But, George, I want you to know the fire chief down there knows this friend of mine. And while the fire was, they were fighting the fire in the kitchen where it started. And he was running around the restaurant rescuing those Jimmy Durante pictures that are all over the wall with his autographs on them.
Classics.
Isn't that something?
Yep, that's a great story. Barry, be well.
Okay, buddy. I'll see you in about a month. I'm coming out there next month.
All right.
Bye.
Next up, let's go to... whose turn is it? Let's go to Roger in Grandy, North Carolina. He's on the on hold line. Hey, Rog.
Hello. It's an honor to talk to you, Mr. Nari. You're an inspiration to us human life out here.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
I listened to you for the last 6 years, radio, and now talk web listener.
A
couple of things that was going through my mind. That I was on a phone for over 2 hours one time. I was trying to get my bank to see if I could convert my IRA into a equity loan. I lived in Maryland, and I lived in a town about 50 miles away from Baltimore, and that was the home office. And I got to the home office. I went through about, I guess, 8 different branches of that bank, and ended up talking to this person I first contacted on information. And I still didn't get any results. I call it the Friday afternoon glory.
Unbelievable. So what you wanted to do was borrow against your 401 without having to cash it in, right?
Yes.
I'm not even a banker, and I figured that out.
Okay, well, that's good. And as another thing, I'm a 72-year-old field service engineer, and in short terms, that is putting things together that the manufacturer goofed up on. like, and making them work the way they want to. And I've done that for a long times in my life in electronics and mechanics. And I'd just like to see you get a talk show going about the things that go wrong, about convenience parts or things that are made in China.
Oh, tell me about it. Unbelievable. Hey, listen to this story, Raj. This will give you an idea. I have had a printer here in my L.A. office since I first came in here in 2003, an 11-year-old computer printer. It was an HP LaserJet 1200. That thing had metal spools in it and everything. It was unbelievable. Fast, reliable. 11 years to have a printer. It just went out on me. So I called our IT department and I said, IT folks, I need a new computer printer. And they said, well, you've got a HP LaserJet 1200 and okay, we'll bring you a brand new one. So they brought me a brand new printer that is half the size of the old one, just as fast, but it's all plastic. Everything in it is plastic. And he said, this is not going to last you 11 years. Trust me. And so they gave me my new computer, and it's working. It shuts off by itself. It's a power saver. The other one would stay on until the end of time. This shuts off, and you got to turn it back on again. But strange. They just don't do these things anymore at all. So, Tommy, you got a little text message for me back there in the studio? What do you got for us?
We are right here. Gerald from Fort Worth, Texas, sends a text. He says, George, my take on that structure in the waters of Malibu is that it just looks like a natural drop-off at the sea bottom. Do we know for sure it's a hole that leads to something?
We don't know for sure. You know, Jimmy Church did a great job with that story. Talk show host in his own right. He wants to go down there and see what's down there. He thinks it could be a cavern to something, man-made or otherwise. But we don't know what it is yet.
Have you looked at the YouTube of it?
Yeah, I've looked at all the pictures.
Looks like there could be a hole that goes right down there.
It looks like a stadium with a cover on it, doesn't it?
Good way to put
That's where Hollywood Park is. They dumped Hollywood Park there.
But they left the casino.
I love it. Did I tell you that story, by the way, when I was in St. Louis?
No.
That guy who owns a racehorse that was running in a San Francisco racetrack. And he said, George, you got to go to a racetrack that has inter-track betting and bet my horse. She's going to win. And I was a little skittish of that. I didn't want to. I don't like it when owners say my horse is going to win, because they all say that. And so I didn't. And the horse came in third. Saved me a fortune.
I don't know anybody like you that knows that lingo. It's amazing.
I taught you some.
We went.
You never
once.
Knew what a trifecta was until I taught you. Remember
no,
that?
Actually, I knew what it was, but I didn't know the way you say it. You go up to the window and you say these words that just...
You had fun saying those words.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun just to do that.
I wonder if you remember how to do it, though, if I take you to Santa Anita.
No, I would not remember. Something about the five with the four with the three, something like that.
Yeah, you box them and you key them and you do all kinds of things
you
with them.
Totally mastered that. It was awesome.
It's fun. All right, next up we go to Costa Mesa, California. Albert's with us on Coast to Coast. Albert, take it away.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
First of all, it's a major pleasure to speak to you. I've only been listening to you for about 8 years.
Yeah. That's all? Jeez.
Yeah, unfortunately. it's a big unfortunate. But hey, the only reason I called in is because I thought I saw a UFO tonight right above Costa Mesa, California, right by the fairgrounds.
Huh.
And the reason I say that is because, I like to look at the stars here and there, and I went out in the backyard and I looked at a few stars and I thought I saw what looked like a streak from a, you know, falling star, a meteor or whatnot, but I couldn't quite actually, you know, see the trail. So I started looking in the direction of what I thought was this falling star, and literally seconds later, I saw the picturesque four lights, but the three light triangle.
Oh boy!
One other light in the middle, traveling from I would say about 3 to 4 degrees from where the Seven Sisters are located, to about what I equated to be about four palm lengths in the sky. You know, as you raise your hands, you look up, and you put four palm lengths next to each other.
And it was silent, right?
Absolutely, completely silent. But here's the thing, though. I'm right next to John Wayne, and airplanes fly to Long Beach and LAX over at different altitudes, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this thing going four palm lengths, what I would equate to about anywhere between 3 to 5 seconds, speed wise.
Yeah.
And at the right of it, maybe about, 15 palm lengths, I see an airplane that should be theoretically maybe around 5 to 10,000 feet. And it's going at a speed that, to my eyes as a beginner or whatever you may want to call it, it's definitely going at a speed that is nowhere near the speed that I saw this object travel.
So the other one was going pretty darn fast, you're saying?
Fast enough for me to have at least noticed some sort of a sonic boom or any kind of disturbance in an aircraft traveling faster than a commercial aircraft would travel at, 10,000 feet.
Because that plane you were seeing probably was going at 300 to 500 miles an hour.
Well, at 10,000 feet, I would say about 300 miles an hour. I don't know the regulations, but I would say 300 miles an hour is, I fly for work fairly often, so I would equate that to be around 300 miles an hour. But this thing went four palm lengths in about 4 seconds.
How big do you think this one was, Albert?
To me, honestly, it looked about 2.5 to 3 times the size of the airplane that I saw. And the size of the airplane that I saw at 10,000 feet to me looked like, an airplane that you can, easily... You could easily tell it's an airplane.
Yeah.
It had your distinctive lights of an airplane, a flashing light, and so on and so forth. This had four lights, three of them in
the corners, right?
Yeah, exactly, and one in the middle, but none of them were blinking, and it literally went from like I said, from the Seven Sisters to about four palm lengths, which was about another palm length and a half where the clouds are starting to come over the ocean.
Was it eerie to look at?
Well, like I said, I'm an avid watcher, and I've always wanted to see something like this. And to me, this is my first experience.
Well, I've got to tell you, we have had so many reports of even bigger craft like this, but they're all triangular shaped. They're all silent. Generally, they're moving pretty slowly, not as fast as an airplane. And then they just take off and disappear, or they just rumble their way and they're gone. And the big question is it ours or is it something from above? That we do not know. I want to invite all of you to get to our website. You should always take at least 2 trips to the website every day and take a look at the shows, the past programs, what our webmasters are putting up there, the videos. Just take some time doing for it and download our free apps, please, by going to the stores, right, for your app, or you can grab it in our store at coasttocoastam.com. We're coming back for more Open Lines next. On our next Coast to Coast program, Dave Schrader mans the desk, so I look forward to that with you. And then on Sunday, I will be here, first Sunday of every month. Plus, we'll be playing for the first couple hours emerging artist bumper music. And again, great artists from all over this planet who are emerging, who just haven't had an opportunity to have a lot of people listen to what they do. Well, they will on Sunday, that's for sure. I'll be back in a moment with more Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. I can't wait to send you pictures of this new studio. I mean, it is state of the art. It is fantastic. We're in the old studio, but what they did is they gutted the thing, and everything's brand new, digital. And I'm going to tell you, in a couple weeks, we'll also start broadcasting in stereo. That is a first. So get ready for that. Because there are some FM stations that pick us up. So you're going to hear some incredible quality. Let's go to the phones. First time caller, Magdalene in Parma, Ohio. Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning, George.
And thanks for holding so long.
Oh, thank you. I had a question to ask you. I'm so excited.
Don't be too excited. You haven't heard my answer yet.
Well, it's one of these things, you know. It's a Gemini thing.
All right. What is it?
I noticed that Gemini's got a thing for hair, and I was wondering if you had a thing for hair also.
What do you mean, a thing for hair?
I don't know. It's like my whole life I kind of like been always attracted to, like, hair on a man.
I'm not.
No, I know you don't, not for a man, but it's like...
I particularly hate it when I see a guy with hair on his back. I just don't like it.
I have hair on the body also, but...
I get my back waxed, by the way, in case you want to know.
My son is a Gemini also. I'm a Gemini, and I noticed that he has a thing for hair, and I wanted to ask you if you have a thing for long hair.
You mean like with women? Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Why?
I'm really nervous.
Do you have long hair?
Yes, my hair is very long.
Huh.
It's the color of caramel.
I like blondes, but I'm a little partial to brunettes.
I kind of thought you liked blondes because I...
Well, no, but I'm more partial to brunettes.
Well, my hair is the color of caramel. And
Caramel?
That's,
yeah, like that's a little dusty color, isn't it?
No, it
it's like a it's like a golden brown or something.
It has a lot of red tones, blonde tones. It depends on how much I spend.
Unless you cook it too much and then it burns and then it's all looky.
George, I think I know who you are.
You do?
Yeah.
Who am I?
You are who I am. And I can't explain it, but...
Do I know who I am?
I'm fighting a cold here, but the first time I heard you on the weekends... I'm fighting a cold, so excuse me.
That's all right.
The first time I heard you on the weekends filling in for Art Bell...
That was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm a long-time coast-to-coast listener, and I fell in love with your voice.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And
did you ever live in Detroit?
No.
Oh.
But I love horses. I'm a Renaissance woman. I'm an artist. And I'm an inquiring mind, and I know who you are because when I first heard your voice, I felt like I knew you from...
Oh, from another life.
From another life.
That's what you meant.
Yeah.
Had me a little worried there for a moment.
No, and I love horses.
I do too.
I caught myself.
Magdalene, are you hitting on me?
I don't think so. I just want to, like, it's not like I'm hitting on you. I'm just trying to be part of you.
Well, you are. Every night I'm on, you just turn on the radio and you're part of the group.
My accent is kind of bizarre. I'm a very thin woman, and my voice doesn't match up. I'm kind of like the...
How tall are you?
I was 5'7", but I think I shrunk.
You shrunk?
I think I shrunk an inch.
What happened to you?
I think my age.
Oh.
I'm a 1953.
And how what do you weigh? How much?
100.
That's pretty thin.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've always been on the very lean side. My mother used to tell me I have the build of a model, but I never believed her because I don't know. It's kind of a long story.
Well, we don't have that kind of time.
No, no. But I sure would like to, you know, like, I'm really, like, psychically tuned into you.
You are?
Oh, yes, I am. And I could tell you some things.
You remote view me?
I don't know about that because I'm not much into remote viewing, but I have like some really strange.
Are you the one who like pops into my dreams?
I possibly could be. I am not born. Well, let me see. I take that back. English is my second language, so you'll have to excuse me.
What's your first language?
My first language is Hungarian.
Oh.
Okay. I always had a thing for Egyptian guys.
Well, I'm more like Lebanese, but my dad was born in Egypt. But he was Lebanese.
When I was real young, I had a thing for Omar Sharif.
he was a great actor. He still is.
Oh, my God. He was so handsome. I have to say.
He's a good guy. Well, I'm going to take a few more calls here, Magdalene, and you just go to bed dreaming of Omar Sharif, if you would. Let's go to Donald in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Hey, Donald, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie. Quick question. The guy that was on Wednesday night talking about the strange formation off the coast of Malibu.
Yes, Jimmy Church.
I know this is kind of a long shot, but a few years ago, one of your guest hosts had the two writers of the Haunted Baseball book on.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, in one of their chapters, they talk about there's a supposed giant underground city beneath Los Angeles, and part of it runs under Dodger Stadium, and that's how it tied in. But like I say, it's a bit of a long shot, but do you think there's possibly any connection between that underwater formation and whatever underground city might be under?
It could very well be. People have been talking about this structure before it was even found. For a long, long time. So there could be a tie in there. Let's take our final text message of the night. Tom's got it. Go ahead, Tommy.
You're making us laugh, and Gina's making me ask you
this. I'm having fun today.
You told Magdalena that you hate men with hairy backs. So I'm just, where do you see that?
Gina is denying that she asked you to say that.
That's not true. We were both laughing when you said that.
Oh, wait a minute. No, no,
well, you
no,
probably
no,
go
no.
to the
wait,
gym or something,
no, no,
right?
No, 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 no. I have a gym in my house.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever been to the beach?
Of course.
And I used to go to South Beach almost every year when I was in St. Louis. I haven't been there in years.
Oh, that's
now.
Okay. That's where it would
if
come
you're
from,
on then. The beach
yeah.
and you're there and you see some guy, you know, strut by you and he's got hair like a monkey on his back. That's too much.
To be honest, I've seen them and I've always wondered, do they get sunburned like through the hair? Is it protected?
No, I probably not.
Okay, we're just curious.
See, I used to though hold like a little magnifying glass over them and burn their hair. They didn't know that.
Anyway, from Terry in Montana, George,
what are you two drinking?
Nothing. Absolutely.
A bottle of champagne or something. There.
Magdalena was fun, huh?
She was fun.
So, Terry from Montana. George, I know you believe in a higher power, but I'm having my doubts. What can I do to help myself boost my belief in a supreme being?
Ask yourself the very simple question. How did we get here? You can't answer it. This is not a fluke of nature. This is not random. This was thought out by something. I don't know what it is. I don't know what God is. You know, I don't think he is what they taught me when I was in cataclysm classes in school. It's not some guy up there in a cloud. It's
but how do you know?
Intelligent energy.
But you don't really
no,
know.
No, I think if there's a guy up there in a cloud, he's an extraterrestrial. That's what he is.
Well, that's what makes religions so cool, because you won't know till you know, go and find out.
And if it's not there, you won't know anyway. It won't
that's
matter.
That's true. Very true.
It just won't matter. Okay, thanks.
See ya.
Okay, let's go to Oscar, the Rockies in Colorado. Oscar, it's your turn. Hi, Oscar.
Hello. How you doing, George?
Fine, Oscar. Thank you.
Hey, I'm calling tonight about, I know I'm on the wild card, but a funny story.
That's okay.
I had to trick your screener there. So I'll start the call by saying I called her, and I had initially tried to get through for about 2 hours now. And when she finally got through and got to her, she asked me what I was calling for. And I guess I told her something that I wasn't on the right line for. So she hung up on me and told me to call the right line. So I had to call back again.
She's brutal.
I got through on the wrong line again.
That's okay. What's on your mind?
So I'm calling about actually call centers. I used to work at a call center for a processing company.
Yeah.
And you know how when you really piss the person off, you just like you're on.
Don't use those words.
Well, when you really upset a person, right? You
much better.
You feel like you're on hold for even longer. Well, funny story here. At this call center we used to work on, there was a little section for notes, right? And if you were just completely upset, irate, storming at the person about your issue, about your credit card, we would put a little note in there. It was like, escalated guest, really upset. And this is just an advisement for everybody else who's listening out there. Don't call in and be rude to people, because you will be somewhat blacklisted. And
yeah, no, and that's
nobody,
true.
Nobody is going to want to take your call. And every single time they are available to take a call, they're going to see that you're upset. And they're just going to completely bypass you.
Or they're going to
be on hold for an extra hour.
You got to be nice. I get those jobs. Collection call centers have got to be the toughest, worst jobs ever. I mean, you got to make a living, so you got to work. But I mean, having to call people and try to collect money from them when they probably don't have it is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, Oscar, let's move on to a couple more here. UFO Phil is in the wings waiting to come on for his debut. Kent in Washington. Let's go to Terrence in Kent, Washington. Hey, Terrence.
Good morning, George.
Morning, sir.
Synchronicity. My grandfather's name was George, and he was superintendent of the North Dakota State Penitentiary for years.
Ha! Huh, how about that?
Synchronicity. My father was a Navy man, died in the Korean War when I was 1 year old.
Oh, wow.
So I like the name George. And the board office has the volume way too loud. So here's a funny thing. I've been on hold for over an hour with my eardrum is being blown out. Anyway, ironic. Isn't it ironic that the richest man in the world, Bill Gates, lives in Mercer Island, sending millions of dollars to Africa for clean drinking water, has had his water shut off twice in 2 weeks for his life?
Has he really?
Yes. Second boil water order.
Unbelievable. All the money in the world won't get you the kind of water you want if you're getting it from a city.
Can't even drink the water out of his own kitchen tap. Ironic. Another irony. Washington, Colorado. Thousands of people in jail for pot, and now Washington, Colorado are selling business licenses to sell pot.
That's right.
Get those people out of jail and save our tax money.
No, there's no question about it. They should let everybody who's in jail for small, petty drug crimes, let them free. Get them out of there. And don't forget, the medicinal use of marijuana is critical. I've seen people who are on pain pills, they couldn't take it. They switched to medicinal marijuana, saved their lives, truly. Save their lives. Okay, don't forget, Dave Schrader is going to be on Saturday. I'm going to be on Sunday, first Sunday of the month. We'll have emerging artists, special guests, talking about things in the Middle East, a perspective, incredible story. You want to be a part of that. And then another guest that will be popping on the program as well. If you need to email me, that's always George at coasttocoastam.com. And what a way to wrap up the week with UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.